Generation X, laughing at the world today. We're getting older, but we're still gonna play.
I do hope everybody in Los Angeles that's watching us, all two of you, we hope that your house is safe and that your family is safe. Less so the property, more about you. And you know, there are a lot of people out there, more than celebrities, who've been affected by this. So it sucks. And hopefully it's all taken care of soon. But we'll talk more about that later, maybe. I do want to talk about some of the things that are going on. Today, as we record this, it's the 15th of January, which means in 4 days, on Sunday of this week, TikTok may cease to be available on your platform, on your iOS or Google Play. TikTok, as I've been saying. And I have some thoughts on that. I don't know what you guys think about it. Is everyone here on TikTok? I know, yeah, all of us are on TikTok, right?
Yeah.
And you use it for what you use it for. I use it to watch old clips of TV shows I've seen 1,000 times. Whatever the algorithm sends me. Dustin, you probably watch, you know, disaster cleanups. Jack watches girls with voluptuous women dancing or playing the piano. And Steph, what do you watch? Dogs?
I really don't. I don't mess with it. You guys send me stuff and I'll look at it. Or somebody sends me a TikTok and I look at it. But yeah, I don't really mess with it.
Why? Are you anti-Chinese?
No, I just I don't like how I get caught up in it. It's one of the most, to me, mesmerizing out of all of the things, and I didn't like how it was playing me, because I look at it and then you look away and then it's an hour and a half has gone by and I was like, I'm not doing this shit anymore. So I just quit fooling with it.
I watched a guy just take a drill and restore it, a metal drill, and restore it, and then I watch a guy from England who wears a fez who he eats tinned fish. So
I'm just not that interested in people, I guess. I don't know.
No, that's cool. I watch guys fish, metal detect, open coins, open baseball cards.
Magnet fishing.
Mm. They find a gun and then the cops come and take the gun away. That's weird. Jeff, what do you really like about TikTok? I was joking and I apologize.
Cooking for Levi is my favorite TikTok account. Chef dad and his little kid.
That's cool.
And the little kid will like eat anything.
Really?
Yeah, he's not picky at all about anything. Yeah. Sometimes he says he doesn't like certain ingredients, but
yeah, his parents have set the food down in front of him and he just eats it like no child I've ever seen before in my life.
Yeah.
Doesn't question anything.
But he's getting into cooking himself now and he's plating stuff like a chef.
He's a little kid. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's cool.
What do you think will end up, a lot of these people are going to end up doing that, or we're making so much revenue?
Yeah, they're all moving to Instagram, or they were already on Instagram, but I guess they're going to try and monetize that somehow.
You can't make money on Instagram like you can on TikTok. No. TikTok's be the best one for that kind of thing. And that's what sucks the most, is so many people have dedicated so much time to creating a following, a feed, you know, guys like Chef. I don't think Chef Reactions makes any money. He just does it for fun. Right. Maybe. I don't know. But
it opened the door to him for other career opportunities, for sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mr. Beast says he wants to buy TikTok.
And so does
Elon. I don't think they'll sell it to him.
Why?
They don't want to sell it. That's the whole problem.
Why don't they just open an LLC in Delaware and buy it for a dollar? Yeah. Make it a company that they own. I don't get it.
The rumors had been that, you know, once they stop supporting it, that it'll probably hang on for another 6 months as the updates build and bugs build up until it just collapses. But they announced today that they're pulling it on the 19th. You will not be able to open your app on the 19th.
So there's not going to be any deal whatsoever, because I'm not going to join any of these other apps they're talking about.
No, all the ones that are literally ran by the Chinese government.
Yeah.
This is so stupid. It pisses me off. It's government. The only reason they want to ban it is because they can't control the moderation. You know, the news came out. Zuck was on with JRE talking about how he was pressured to take things down Whether that's true or not, I don't know or care. Why would he say it if it wasn't? But, you know, once this war in Gaza started and people were talking about it, or when you were getting news about California that's not filtered through, you're getting news from people on the ground instead of the people they want you to get the news from. That's a problem. They don't want that. And it bugs me because, you know, every app collects data. You don't think that Jeff Bezos has all your data and that he's sharing it with other people, or Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk or Alphabet, whoever the fuck runs Google. That's happening.
How much misinformation is on X, for God's sake? All you have to do is open it up and it's just full of nonsense. Opinions, and they act like it's news.
And same with Blusky. Blusky's the same thing. It's just from a different point of view, you know? And it's just they're feeding you opinions, and they're putting everybody in a silo. But to get back to TikTok, I never got that feeling in TikTok. TikTok had the best algorithm and showed you things that you wanted to see, or maybe it thought that you wanted to see. Jeff shared something with me the other day. We talked about this account before. It's a nostalgic account. I forget the guy's name, but he shows you what was on TV on a certain date in the 70s or 80s, and it's a cool channel. You know, that guy, he's on other platforms too, but my point is you see things you want to see, and it's easy to filter out what you don't want to see.
Well, let me ask, I'm not a genius at all, as you all know very well, but is this really more of a plot to hurt China?
Yeah.
Just like the whole Greenland buying is more about hurting China by us getting the lithium so they can't have the lithium.
Yeah. Everything is business. Everything is about money. It's not about feelings. It's not about this or that. I mean, there is some of that, the crazy people in Congress, but everything's about money.
It's about money. Yeah. It's about money.
It's always about the money.
It's all about money.
It's all about money, boys.
It's all about the money.
And that's why Zuckerberg is bending the knee to the incoming Trump administration, because it's about money. He knows that they're going to start sniffing around in their corporate emails and things like that. So he's just being upfront about certain things, and he can continue doing business. Here's your $1 million for your inauguration. You know, the corporations weren't sucking up to him his first go round, and they are now, which is strange, but whatever, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's not talking about him as a president or a person or whatever you think about it. It's just true. Everything is money, and we need money. So share this with your friends. Donald Trump will be inaugurated on Monday, the 20th, which is a big day. It's Martin Luther King Day. It's Trump's inauguration day. And then it's the college football national championship game, which I believe is Notre Dame versus Ohio State.
Yeah.
Inaugural ball has Carrie Underwood performing and the Village People. Now, I didn't know Carrie Underwood was a conservative. I don't know if she is or isn't, but she's getting.
You're for real? The Village People are really performing?
Yeah. They let him use YMCA.
They're still alive?
There's only two of them.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So the two of them are going to perform it?
If I were younger, I would have joined the Navy, and I love hanging out at the YMCA. I mean, you can really do a lot of fun things there. What happens there stays there.
But the hate, the weird, weird hate, and I want to read a couple of these tweets that I've found on social media. Actually, they're not tweets, they're posts on X. Carrie Underwood, Jesus is about to take the wheel and drive your career right into the toilet.
I hope your career goes in the toilet.
Shame on Carrie Underwood. She has been removed from my playlists. It's so hard to stand up with moral principles. Or is it so hard? Money is truly the root of all evil. I don't think she's getting paid.
No, you don't get paid for playing the inauguration.
No. And then I went over to see what they were saying on Blusky, and it was a lot meaner. I hope Carrie Underwood never bounces back from this, and it hurts her career forever. Carrie Underwood is Trump's Timu Taylor Swift. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Carrie Underwood has a new album coming out, and there's a little image there, and it says Songs for Felons and Essayers. And this one is actually pretty funny from Blue Sky. Carrie Underwood is the Kirk Cameron of Kevin Sorbo's.
That's good.
To get that, you have to know that Kevin Sorbo is an outspoken right winger, very religious, and Kirk Cameron, we all know, is a goofball. So anyway, that should be fun. I probably will ignore all of it, although I'll have to pay attention to the inauguration because it's before we start our show on Monday.
I'm sure she'll bring out her very formidable thighs and slay the crowd.
Absolutely. Now, TikTok, hopefully they'll find a way to keep it. I hope they do. But Jeff, have you left X? Has everyone left X and gone over to Blueski? Are people going to leave Facebook? I mean, it's kind of hard to leave Facebook if you're on it and you're connected to your family. Steph, this doesn't apply to you. But, I mean, if you're connected to your friends and family.
I don't plan on leaving Facebook or Instagram, seeing that they're essentially the same, you know, the same thing.
Right.
I mean, the only reason I stay on X now is to post stuff for the show. I try to go in to read it, and I want to throw my phone after
you don't want to go
2 minutes.
For you. Do not go to For You, because there's nothing in there that you want to see.
Not at all.
I just look at trending.
Yeah. Jeff?
I'm just gonna move to China.
But you still have X, don't you?
That's to post my Wordle scores.
I know. But that's all you do on Blue Sky, too. But I don't see leaving Facebook as being something. I'm not pissed off. I don't care. I knew back then that what he was doing, and I know what he's going to do now. I just think it's an easy platform to stay in touch with family and old friends and stuff. And then to go to Marketplace and see people arguing about stuff. But Zuck did cuck, as I like to say. And that's that. And he does have nice hair now. I watched clips of him. I couldn't take two to 3 hours of him on Rogan. We all got a weird text from Dustin the other night. And now, Dustin, I don't consider you as someone who is a weekly watcher of Tim Dillon. Are you or no?
No, not at all.
So you just happened to see that he was live talking about the fires in Los Angeles and dipped into it.
Mm-hmm. Special episode live. And right. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll check out Tim Dillon. You guys talk up so much. It was an hour long. I listened to it for about 40 minutes. I mean, I get what he's doing. I mean, I understand his type of humor, but at the same time, it wasn't funny. You know,
just like everything else Tim Dillon's ever done.
The more I listened to it, the more I was like, I didn't laugh once. Not one time in 40 minutes.
Wow.
That's so funny because I laughed through the whole thing.
Me too. We were talking about it in a side way because I didn't want to. I'm like, I wanted to have this conversation. Jeff, I'm sure you didn't watch it, right?
No, I didn't listen at all.
Yes. Because you hate him and you have a reason to hate him and deservedly so.
He hates.
Why does he hate him?
We already covered this. Go back and find it. I don't know why, but he was a dick to Jeff. So Jeff has every right to not like the fucking guy. And also, he's kind of a hypocrite, Tim, about certain things. But I felt that we get so much on the news about whose fault it is. And then depending on what you're watching or where you go, everybody's blaming everybody except for the reality of the situation. And I thought Tim did a good job breaking that down. He is acerbic and really an arrogant. I don't know how much of that's real and how much of it's a put on. But I found it to be funny. There were a couple times where I was howling. And
same. Same. Whenever he was talking about the homeless people running around with gas cans.
Yeah.
And setting stuff on fire. And he was like, you can't destroy the world because you didn't get a part on Hacks.
That cracked me up. I wasn't expecting that.
That killed me. And when he was talking about how they didn't deserve this, that whole they didn't deserve this part. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. The zannied out driving the Range Rovers and the snowboarding children. And even when he did the whole in it, like, they're not married anymore. He's over on Santa Monica, you know, but they still talk. How he does the scenarios. I always love his scenarios. And then the end of it, too, whenever he was just like, this is what has to happen in order to fix it. You can't be all, ooh, we're going to, you know, save the fish or whatever. You're going to have to get hardcore. It's not going to get fixed by having parades and shit.
What did he say? The very last thing he said was, kill the fish.
Kill the fish. Good luck.
Dustin, you were going to say something.
He had the news clip of the lady on, or the producer was fixing to put it up, and he was like, wait a minute, put the sound down. And he was going to speak for her. So he, and then once it was done, they rewound it and played it to see how right he was. And, you know, the humor could have been more clever, but it wasn't. It was just him beating that whole kill the fish thing to death for like 20 minutes.
Now, I will say, if you're a regular viewer, that wouldn't have surprised you.
His long rants about one thing.
Yes.
That's what he is. That's what the show is about, is he rants about like certain topics or whatever. This is the first time he's ever stayed on one topic through the whole show. Generally, it's two or three different topics, but considering that he actually had to evacuate, because I saw his Instagram stories where he was evacuating, like there was videos of him from the car showing the fire or whatever.
Today on Instagram, he posted a message he got on his text from Bottega Soho. Hi, Tim. This is Miriam from Bottega Soho. How are those Shield sunglasses? So it's a marketing text. And he wrote back, my house burned down.
Yeah. Because he's going to wet his beak. Sympathy.
Yeah, I want to wet my beak. I like that deconstructing everything and that whole thing that he does. I can't really put a word to it because I'm not that smart. But I get why people don't like him. And I didn't want to argue about the content with Dustin at all. I just wanted to see his thoughts because you don't usually watch the show.
Yeah. His mocking compassion was just ridiculous to me.
That was the intent.
Well, but it wasn't funny.
Right.
Be clever with it. That'd be one thing. But, you know, starting it all off with, I sold my house a year ago. I don't even live there anymore. But all these people keep calling me. So I'm just going to go along with it and say, yeah. I've been looking out the Ring camera now and it just went out. What happened? And they're like, none of these people have talked to me in a year, but they think I still live there. So I'm just going to milk it for all it's worth. I was like,
to hear from Dustin's point of view. Obviously there are lots of people like Dustin who heard it that way.
Yeah.
100%. And I hear it a completely different way. I don't hear it that way at all. And I probably, it is because I've been listening to him for years. And you know, he's a loudmouth Long Island. This is what he does. You know, is he goes after, that is the shtick. And either you like it or you don't like it. And I dig it. I like his shtick.
That, for some reason, just didn't resonate with me at all.
I get it. Jerk. No, we're not. Steph and I hate the world. You guys embrace it and love it and see positive things.
I do think that. I do think you and Jeff are both much, much nicer than me and Tim. I do think that. You're kinder. You guys like nicer things than either of us do. Tim is truly dead inside. There is a...
I'm not dead inside. The thing
truly, truly dead inside. There is a little bit of a spark in me still, but I feel like Tim and I are both definitely way meaner than you guys.
Yeah. I can be mean. I just temper it because I have a son now, and that gives me the joy of life every day.
You can be really mean when you want to, though.
I know. Jeff knows probably better than any of you.
Shit, Jeff can be mean. He's been mean to me.
Nah.
Oh, yeah.
It's just to the point.
If Jeff gets his bloomers in a knot...
Just throw an ice cream bowl at his head. It'll shut up. All right. Well, so it's 50-50 here, the Tim Dillon support. What do you think? Did you watch the show? If you watched the show, leave a comment below and let us know. Just know that if you're a Tim Dillon fan and this somehow stumbled into your algorithm, we're not all a bunch of dicks who don't know anything about him. Half of us like him, half of us don't. So there.
It's time for news, trailers, and trends with Steph.
You guys love Neil Gaiman. Am I wrong about that?
I don't love him enough to get in the hot tub with him, that's for sure.
No.
If you've watched the news at all, you probably have seen that he's facing even more sexual assault allegations. And he claims that every bit of this was consensual. He's just into BDSM. He wants you to call him master. And a lot of these women are saying that they didn't consent. That even when I read the story, it doesn't sound like SA. It sounds like maybe they did things they didn't want to, that they regretted, but does not seem as though he forced them to do anything.
Well, he gave him a Dollar Tree payouts for the NDAs. Here's $6. Don't say nothing. He should have given him more.
Well, he is definitely denying it as of today. So who knows how this is all going to play out, but they have put a halt to a lot of his stuff that was filming. He's got, tons of stuff in the works.
Still in the works because he's not really involved in that, right? They're going to finish that up.
They're doing a movie.
A movie, yeah, instead of another season.
But he's not going to be involved in that last part of it. And then that show that he has, the Dead Boy Detectives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that got canceled already.
That one and...
I'm sorry, Steph. Why does everybody on the crew and every actor and everybody in the production, why do they all have to suffer? And the fans, why do they have to suffer from this guy? Just take away his ability to make money off of it.
Yeah, I mean, J.K. Rowling got canceled too, and they still do Harry Potter shit.
Yeah.
Well, Disney's paused production on the film adaptation of the Graveyard Book. And season two of The Sandman is still expected to be released this year on Netflix.
Now, are we going to watch Coraline anymore?
I just don't know. I never watched it before. So was it good?
Coraline's a great movie.
Yeah. What was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a very interesting perspective on everything. I mean, as far as unique, he's definitely a unique storyteller. But I mean, he's into what he's into when it comes to stuff like this. I mean, we already seen how it plays out 10 years, how it would have played out 10 years ago. So, I mean, are we still in that world, or are we coming out of it? Are we going to be looking for proof before we cancel him off completely, or?
And then I'm back in the White House. You're going to have to prove it. Yeah. Neil Gaiman, who hates Trump, by the way, if you ever followed him on Twitter, he hated him, or X.
He didn't like him. So at least he's an ally that way.
Well, this story meant everything to me, and my God, do I wish this could occur. There's a lady in Memphis, Tennessee, who has been keeping her skeleton up in her yard.
Her
I think
own
she's
skeleton
getting,
or someone else's?
It's a big skeleton, you know, a Halloween skeleton, like the one that I'm dealing with across the street from me that's covered in snow. But her city, unlike mine, Germantown, they do not allow you to put decorations up too soon or keep them up too late when it's past the appropriate season. So she threw some Christmas stuff on these skeletons from Halloween, and the town, they're coming after her and telling her she's going to have to take this stuff down. Well, she's going to court over this. She's getting an attorney and everything else because she said this is her right, and she's about to put some Valentine's Day stuff on these skeletons. And all they said to her was, if you just take the skeletons down, we don't have to go to court. There's no need for it. She's not having it. She's keeping the stupid skeletons up.
What if these giant skeletons are, like, super hard to take down? Maybe that's the problem.
I'm sure they are hard to take down. And I'm sure there is no room for them in their garage, because these are giant, humongous.
They bought it at Halloween, they put it up, and now there's no... It's like buying a boat in the summertime and then realizing you have nowhere to put it at the end of the summer.
So they got high, and they're like, let's go get a giant skeleton. And they managed to put it together, and then now they don't know what to do with it.
I mean, you guys saw the video I did on the snow day.
Yep.
You see the size of it in comparison to their house. It's as big as the house, basically.
Get a bigger skeleton.
That's what I'm saying. It's so stupid. This belongs. See, this happened to me not that long ago. Neil, he ordered me this big, huge roasting thing, right? Well, it juts out like from the counter. And I said, no, this has to go back immediately. This has to go back immediately. Why? I said, because this belongs in a much bigger kitchen. This thing is too big for our kitchen. It was like, it fits on the counter just fine. It's the same thing. You got to go, like, it has to be like, what is it? To scale.
We ought to find somebody that you can pay to go take care of that skeleton. Like that scene in Goodfellas where Karen gets roughed up by the neighbor and then Henry Hill goes across the street and beats him with a gun. That's what we got to do.
Neil has talked about shooting its knees out. And my neighbors have...
Get a hacksaw and chop off the shins.
My neighbors have talked about setting it on fire and how, you know, heavy metal that would look if it was just burning in their front yard, the skeleton. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I really hope that the town beats this dumb bitch, because this is ridiculous.
You mean metaphorically, legally, or physically?
However, whatever it takes to get the skeleton out of her yard. Did you guys listen to Mel Gibson on Joe Rogan?
I did.
Clips.
Yeah, I heard clips.
Well, did you know that his house in Malibu was burning down while he was on the show?
Yeah, his son in the middle of it and said, hey, Pop, I think your house is burning down. Oh, I can't do anything about it right now. I'm talking to Joe Rogan about humans being 8,000 years old. It was a cool interview. I think he's an interesting guy. Anything controversial Joe would ask him, he'd go, like he would give him the signal that he didn't want to talk about it. And there was a lot of this. Wow. Wow.
You could tell that Gibson is very unaffected by his house burning down, considering I'm sure he's got like 27 more of them. But he was happy that his chickens were alive.
That's crazy. That's what his show is turning into. Wow.
It was always that. I don't listen to it because of that.
He's very repetitive these days. The one with Julian Lennon was weird because he actually did more conversation in that. I think he might have been a little intimidated by Mel. I don't know. The Zuckerberg one, like I said, I couldn't stand. But I enjoyed the one with Theo, because Theo doesn't disappoint in the humor department.
Yeah. Theo usually catches him off guard when Joe actually hears a real comedian say something funny.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh, burn, sick burn. But if you're in weird shit like that, and you're not all caught up in the Joe Rogan is a MAGA right winger, check it out. He usually has interesting guests.
Did you see the viral clip of that Eagles fan that was?
Yeah.
Oh God, what he said to that girl who was a Packers fan at the game.
Oh. Yeah.
That was very vile. No reason for it whatsoever. Well, he ended up getting banned from any future games. And apparently, according to this, he's been fired from his job.
Yeah, that's a little too much. The guy's a jerk. I mean, consider the source. He's an Eagles fan. Right,
let's do a show where we take like boxers or MMA fighters or something and dress them in the opposing team's swag and then send them to Phillies games. That's following around with a camera.
Yeah. I don't think the guy should have been fired, but I don't care that he was. But I'm glad he got kicked out of that stadium.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say what he said, but you can look it up if you haven't seen the clip. It's downright disturbing. I don't know how that guy didn't, because Neil isn't like super violent, but he would have thrown him into the field.
No, he would have torn his face off. You don't want to do it in the stadium, man, because if they see a Packers guy take a swing at an Eagles fan, he would just get destroyed. Yep. Everybody in the entire stadium would jump onto him.
What is the story about Brad Pitt? This lady, this French lady, got catfished by Brad Pitt for, how was it, like $1 million or something? They were, Jesus Christ, like the, somebody
she
acting
left, she
like
left
they
her
were.
Husband.
Yeah, for AI Brad Pitt pictures of him in the hospital.
Yeah.
She was 53 years old, and somebody reached out to her acting like they were Brad Pitt's mom and saying that Brad Pitt couldn't access his accounts because of the divorce, and he needed money because he needed a kidney transplant. And so she ended up sending him $850,000, and she's thinking that he's in love with her. She left her husband for him, and it was all AI faked.
Yep. Duh. Brad Pitt is not going to be hooking up with you, lady. And she had money, so that was stupid of her. I found some other examples of people that we could probably get away with. Neil Young, Michael Keaton, a.k.a. Bruce Wayne, Richie Rich, Pope Francis.
Yeah, he needs money desperately. Yeah.
I know he does. Adam Sandler and Curtis Armstrong. Who probably needs money.
this happened to Q from Impractical Jokers, but the lady only gave the scammer $17,000.
Yeah, last year. Yeah.
Brad Pitt's a little bit long in the tooth for $850,000. I mean, I might do it for, maybe Ryan Gosling.
How about Chalamet?
No.
No?
No, he's just like a tender Twinkie boy. I couldn't imagine. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. That's fine.
Absolutely not. Well, the infighting is beginning and growing stronger as Bannon is calling Musk evil and racist. Bannon is calling Musk evil and racist.
So C. Bannon is a disgusting felon, and he the jail time and everything, and also he's a drinker. See all the gin blossoms on his face and this. So he's a poopy head and a dum dum, and I don't like him. Whatever he is what he is. Nanny nanny boo boo.
And this really got going whenever they started his mess about the visa crap.
Yes.
And Bannon is saying that he was under the impression that they were just going to take all of his money, use it to get elected, and then Trump was going to push him out before the inauguration. Bannon's getting really pissed because this is not happening.
He's jealous.
Does sound like it.
That's what happened to him. He was in the White House for a couple of months, and Trump said, "Get out of here, Steve. You're a fat alcoholic." And he's gone. Goodbye, Steve Bannon. You're lucky you didn't end up getting raked over the coals like Rudy Giuliani.
Why do I have to give up all my houses and baseball stuff? It's not fair. All I did was sick a bunch of idiots on these two nice ladies.
Well, what is misinformation and what is true? I don't know anymore. You have one story that says FEMA is kicking the hurricane survivors up in the Appalachians out of their temporary housing into the snowstorm, basically. And then FEMA posts on their site that that's just a rumor. They're moving resources away from North Carolina and other areas affected by Helene. So they're saying that that is not true, that they're kicking people out, but they are taking some resources away to respond to the fires.
Yeah, we gave everybody in California $770. It's enough. You build your house back with that kind of money. Hey, Hurricane Helene was allowed a couple months ago. You should have your house built back, but built back better, remember? Anyway.
And there really is. It's, what is it, like 10% of the debris has been cleared away?
From where? North Carolina?
North Carolina and Tennessee and that whole area.
Rid of it. How are you going to get rid of it? You're going to have shit grow over it. You're not going to be able to get rid of it. You just got to clean it off the roads, push it to the side, make sure the beavers or whatever aren't sick.
So who knows what's true? Just
the,
like
if you're getting it from TikTok, don't believe it.
It wasn't on TikTok. It was on the actual.
In general.
Yeah, don't. Well, you're not going to be able. You're going to have the chance to disbelieve it here in a second. Just, you know, the first like thing that popped up about Ben Affleck, they said that the FBI agents were at his house, and I think a lot of people were thinking, "Oh, does this have to do with J-Lo?"
That's what I thought.
But really, it was because there's some drones that were messing up their firefighting activities, and I guess they were near Ben Affleck's home, so they were coming there to ask him some questions about it, but he wasn't there.
He wasn't. Where was he?
He was at Jennifer Garner's house.
Why can't he find a new woman? He just keeps going back to these women he's already been with.
It's like, Jennifer slept here. Just back here and forth. I don't know. My last story, and I thought this was kind of cool, is Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name, and Franz Ferdinand's Take Me Out have both reached 1 billion streams on Spotify.
I wonder what they're going to do with that $50 check.
Yeah.
Oh.
That is kind of messed up, right?
Yeah. That is messed up. But they don't get jack shit for it, do they? Like,
no.
Like
the- I mean, yeah, like 0.000004 of a penny per play. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Out of what other song, though, do you think, beside Killing in the Name and Take Me Out? I mean, Take Me Out, I wouldn't have thought that would have reached a billion streams. I mean, it's an okay song, but Jesus.
But you got to understand the reason it did is because that that song is the main song on Guitar Hero.
Oh.
And that is what pushed. A whole generation loves any of those songs that were on those video games.
That makes perfect sense, Dustin. I did not even think of that. Well, that's it. That's all my news.
Thank you, Steph.
Hello, America. I'm Casey Kasem. This week, we get a long-distance dedication. The letter begins, "Dear Casey, my name is Dale, and one of my favorite serial killers has yet to make it onto your show. His name was Paul, stop calling me Meatloaf, Ezra Rhodes. Casey, his March 1987 killing spree inspired me to kill, but I kept it to stray animals until I eventually found a woman who'd have sex with me. Paul's life was ended in the great state of Idaho when in 2011 he became the first person executed by deep fryer. Can you help me celebrate the week Paul went on his three-week killing spree? All right, Dale, let's time travel back to March 1st, 1987. The number one movie in the country was A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. Remember that Dawkins song? It was awesome. The number one song was Faith by the late George Michael. And the number one television show, Wheel of Fortune. I'd like to buy a stay of execution, Governor of Idaho. Sorry, Paul. Happy birthday in heaven, and I'll see you soon. Now, on with the countdown.
stuff. We're going to talk about what we watched, listened to, and read. No, we didn't read anything. I'll just go real quick. I watched, I think I already mentioned it, Joe Rogan Experience with Theo Vaughn, Mel Gibson. I'm really digging Dexter Original Sin. I think it's a good show, and I can't wait.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm sucked into it. I'm on pause with the books and the rewatch of season 7 because I started watching Landman, which I shouldn't have slept on. I'm on episode 3. I'm savoring it one a night, maybe. It is a great show. The whole cast is good. And I didn't even know Demi Moore was in it.
Yeah.
Is she the woman that's playing his wife?
Yeah, John Hamm's wife, yeah.
She's the one swimming? I didn't even recognize her. Continuing with my daily commute, I'm listening to, still finishing the Dungeon Crawler Carl. And I checked out Bobby Lee on the Harlan Highway because that's always fun. And that's what I've been up to.
I watched all of that American Primeval on Netflix. Did you guys watch that?
I haven't started yet. Is it good?
It was okay. It suffers from one fatal flaw in that I don't like anybody. Nobody. I'm not rooting for anybody. There's no hero. Kind of like the Unforgiven, that Clint Eastwood Western, where everybody was bad.
Yeah,
you didn't have anybody to root for.
I was rooting for Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, a little.
He's anti-hero.
Yeah.
There's no anti-hero to pull for?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them, but I just didn't like any of them. But I still watched it all. It was good.
Angry Mormon. Isn't it about angry Mormons?
Yeah, that's about the Battle of Utah.
Okay.
When the Mormons wanted to take over the whole state. And a dude from Sons of Anarchy.
Taylor Kitsch is, and he's the main Kitsch, dude.
He's the main dude, and he's like the most likable person of everybody that's unlikable.
He was good on Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. I mean, I liked him in everything. I liked him in John Carter. I liked him in Battleship, but none of those movies did anything.
Right. That's worth watching, though. I finished Landman. I finished Lioness. 2 seasons of that. The Pit's really good. Watched the first 2 of those. I watched the first On Call. That was good.
I watched 5 of them. I loved it.
Did you? Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to keep going on that. I enjoyed the first one. And I found this old book about Deadwood that came out in 1986 before the series. I'm listening to that. It's really good. It's got all the same characters.
Do they swear?
Nah, there's not a lot of the show language in it. But Charlie Utter's the main character.
I've been listening to the Dungeon Crawler Carl. Listen to 2 Bears, 1 Cave. It was Tom and Bert, and they were talking about the fire. I guess they went to their studio in L.A., and they talked about the fires the whole time. And I have, at this point, I'm completely writing Bert Kreischer off.
Why? What happened?
He didn't take 5 minutes before he seriously started talking about, hey, we could go in there and buy a bunch of land now, real cheap, and just all the money grubbing shit and it wasn't meant to be funny at all. And you can tell Tom was like looking at the camera.
They can't be long to be together. No. I don't think they are. If you've been watching the videos that they're blaming, they didn't do Sober October because they didn't think that he could do it, Bert, or that he fucked up somehow. I don't care. We're done with that phase of our show. But they, the daily, the videos come out, but I saw the artwork on the video on YouTube, and the look on Bert's face just looked like a warning that I probably didn't want to watch it. So you're saying that it didn't even get going, and he's already, yeah, dude, we could totally go buy a bunch of houses.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, that was exactly it.
That's sad. Anybody else watch that?
No. No, but that does kind of go along with Tim Dillon whenever he said that if they build a Disney World in Malibu, he'll burn it to the fucking ground.
Now I feel like I should watch it. I'm not going to, though. How about you, Steph?
I listened to Murder on Songbird Road. It's a new podcast. It's one of those investigative ones. It's only 2 episodes in, but this woman is accused of stabbing her 11-year-old stepdaughter to death in a bathtub. And she claims that it was some guy that was in the neighborhood, and that when she got home, the guy came running out of the house. So it's really good. So far, I'm like, I don't know. Did she do it or she didn't do it? but it's called Murder on Songbird Road. It's really good. And The Playboy Murders on Max. It's Holly Madison, you know, which she was one of his girlfriends. She has since taken a different stance on Playboy. And all of these murders, every episode, it's a woman who either posed for Playboy, was a cyber girl, was something, and obviously their life went horribly wrong. They either are murdered or they kill someone, and there's a lot of them, like a lot.
And tell Vanessa to be careful.
I think she's fine.
It's pretty, you know, I didn't realize how much of a scumbag Hugh really was. He really was pretty much a scumbag. He was not a rapist or anything, but he did tell them, I mean, like, if you do not bang me, you will not be in the magazine. That's all there is to it. And if you come up to the room with me and the other eight girls, you can't just stand there and watch. You have to participate. So, whatever.
Take all those videos out of there. But there was hundreds of films and videotapes, probably thousands of them, that were removed from the property after he died. That was one of the first things they did, is take those videos. And who knows where they are. They're probably destroyed. But I imagine that there's footage of celebrities going all the way back to the time he opened that, banging people.
Oh, don't you think somebody's got those somewhere and they get lots of favors considering the fact that they have those videos?
Oh, yeah. Same with Diddy. You never get to see that fun shit.
But I do recommend Playboy Murders. It's a fun little murdery watch. And, you know, it's a lot of beautiful women and yeah. Until you see the end, and then they're old and, you know, they've stabbed somebody to death.
Hey, if you're in Conyers and you're hungry, or if you're in any part of the area near Conyers, Georgia, which is right outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and you're hungry and you want some really good pizza or gyros, why not check out Atlanta Pizza and Gyro? They've proudly been serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. They're a great place to be this winter, and Atlanta Pizza and Gyro is ready for the holiday season. Now, no need to break traffic laws and smuggle it in from Texas, you bandits. Stop by AP&G and get $3.50 Coors Banquet stubby bottles and more. They've got the best gyros, pizzas and hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Stop by Monday through Friday, 11 to 9 p.m. And on Saturday from noon to 9 p.m., they are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30. Bring your smartest friends and test your trivia knowledge against the best Conyers has to offer. And if it's just like Dustin, for example, you have a good chance of winning.
I wash my hair with their house dressing.
Or you put one of those caps on so it really soaks into your scalp.
Exactly. And then whatever drips out in the night makes like a lovely little 2 a.m. snack.
By the way, their food truck is on blocks until the end.
Oh,
no. No, for the winter. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, just for the winter season?
Yeah. All right. Hey, do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
His views.
Or.
And snooze.
Yeah, last week was Shifting Gears, American Primeval and the Pit, which I watched American Primeval and the Pit.
This I'm going to watch American Primeval after I finish Landman. Go ahead.
Yeah. Beyond Saturday Night starts on Peacock. This is that four-part documentary about 50 years of Saturday Night Live. Looks really good.
I'm going to watch that.
Dance for sure.
Yeah, and Roy Wood Jr. specials hitting Hulu on the 17th.
Cool.
That'll be good. They're doing those comedy specials on Hulu
Hulu's,
now.
Yeah, Hulu's version of their comedy specials.
Yeah. And Severance comes back, finally, after 3 years.
Did you see that big publicity stunt they did?
That's no, what'd they do?
The Grand Central Station?
Thing. Yeah.
They just sat up the Severance set, like the plexiglass around him with the desk, right in the middle of Grand Central Station.
Wow.
That's cool.
I'm sure that was some kind of a, I don't know if they filmed it, like it was part of a weirdo sequence.
Nah, it's probably just publicity, like the sitting those ladies behind the home plate, and they were smiling for that smile movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was creepy.
I didn't know that was Jack Nicholson's kid in Smile, too. Did you guys know that?
Oh yeah,
no.
Yeah, he does. He does that.
He does his dad's smile from
the
Shining.
Yeah, he does the Kubrick stare. Yeah. In that,
I haven't seen Smile 2 yet. Is it as good as Smile 1?
Yeah, it was okay.
It's the same.
Yeah,
it's
Smile 1 was a way worse than I thought. Smile 1 was pretty.
It's probably scary. One is probably scarier than the second one, because by the time you're into the second one, the novelty is worn off from, you know, the first one. So they don't go that much deeper into it.
And I would imagine, too, that Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick's daughter, she's a good actress, too, that was in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if this other chick was as good.
I need to watch that. Thank you, Jeff. Staff picks this week. About a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago, my friend Mark sent a YouTube video by this punk country act out of Tennessee called King Lazy Eye. And so last night I watched it again, and then I went to their Facebook page and started watching more videos. And I sent it to my friend English Nick, who's on the radio here. He's also on The Doctrine, but he's on The River and all that. And he was obsessed with it. And then I got obsessed with it and started watching. This guy's 28 years old, the main guy. And he just does all these monologues, or he riffs on stuff. And I like the song. It's very raw, very punk country. So if you're into that kind of thing, check out King Lazy Eye.
My stat picks, Scott Rogowski from HQ Trivia started a podcast this week. The whole shtick is he's only interviewing people that are born on his birthday.
That's pretty cool.
December 4th, 1984.
So, on that specific date?
On that day?
Yeah, they have to be born on that day.
That year or two.
Yeah. This first guy he talks to was born in the United States, but now he lives in France and he works for Chanel. Pretty cool interview. They're the exact same age, so they talk about all this stuff from their childhood. You know, it's pretty cool, and he's a funny dude.
I don't know how I find anybody born on my day.
I don't know how he found him, but he met him in real life too. So that's maybe cool. That was why he decided to start the podcast.
You're right.
My staff pick it's on YouTube right now. It's called The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T. It is the only real life movie that Dr. Seuss made.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah, I heard about banned. This too.
Yeah, it was banned for a long time. And it's really, really weird. Like you would expect the Dr. Seuss thing to be weird, but this is like... And actually, a lot of people may recognize it. Do you remember the image of a little boy with a hat with a hand on top of it? That's from this movie. It's kind of like a Pinocchio getting tricked to go to the island, but it's mixed with...
I've seen that hat, yeah.
Like Dante's Inferno kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it's a musical too, so it's got these weird songs in it, but it's interesting. Yeah, The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T.
I'm going to watch that.
Mine is a show on Max. It's called Roadworthy Rescues. It's this guy, Derek Bieri. He's a mechanic, and he goes to, like, his thing is called Vice Grips Garage. Mm-hmm. And what he does is he goes out into fields, and he sees, like, these junky-ass cars, and he'll get them running. And the difference between his show and other people's shows is he actually shows you what he's doing to get this car running. It's not like just like, the car looked like crap, now it's beautiful. The cars never look beautiful. He really never actually ever cares about how they look. He just wants to get them on the road. And he's hilarious. He has this, you know, he has that South Dakota accent, and he just makes up words for shit. Just the Chloe, I promise you, if you watch him, you'll love him. He's so great. I've already started messaging him on Instagram, trying to get him on the show, because I know you guys would love him. But it's called Roadworthy Rescues on Max.
Check out our staff picks. Let us know what your staff picks are in the YouTube comments below, or if you watched anything that we're watching. Please, we want to interact with you, damn it. No hugs, though. All right, time to do some plugs. I do a radio show in Atlanta every Saturday. Of course, pre-taped. I'm not going to waste a Saturday coming down here to do it live. Anyway, my show is called The Popcast, and it's also a podcast that you can find on your favorite podcatchers. Recent guests include Corey Feldman and Josh Zettimer, the latter being a showrunner. Corey Feldman needs no introduction. My most recent episode was with Atlanta radio veteran and now realtor, and he and his wife, Johanna, are going to be hosting some episodes of this new show that is on HGTV called The American Dream, I believe. And that is, of course, Rich Sullivan. And coming up this week, if you want to listen or grab the podcast later, is this young man. He's 11 years old. His name is Pierce Sario, and he's competing on Kids Baking Championship on Food Network. Have you ever watched that show, Steph?
Yes, I have. And yes, I do.
And I hope he's still on it, because I don't know. And the other thing I hope is that he brings something to eat when he comes in. Anyway, you can find that, the Popcast with Tim Andrews, on your favorite podcatcher. I want to give a shout out now to our producers. We have a Patreon. It is patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And you can go there and sign up at any level. And of course, you'll receive our weekly, which hasn't been posted yet, our weekly Patreon show called Radios in the Dark, where we just sort of riff and talk about things and generate ideas. And we had no comments this week, or I would have read them already, but it'll be up ASAP as soon as I get home. But anyway, yeah, you can go at any level. And if you come in at the $25 a month level, we know times are tough. We know that there's natural disasters everywhere. We know that Brad Pitt needs money. He's in the hospital, and he loves you, and he needs your $25. But if you can afford $25 a month, that'll make you an executive producer of the show, and that means it's partially yours. You take ownership. And if you're a new person and you come on at that level, you will get a t-shirt from our t-shirt store and a doodle or two from me that I'll print out and send to you, or I'll draw you something custom. So, without further ado, let's thank our producers. We have John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. If there's nothing else to talk about, I guess we'll just say keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Well, they say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio labyrinth. We got a rocket like we're still young kids. Laughing at the world. The jokes never fade. Never fade away. And now the radio labyrinth will never be swayed.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.